Welcome to Kachemak Currents, brought to you by the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies. When you think of the concept of predator and prey, you may imagine a food chain, where there are prey animals that may or may not feed on plants, and then there are carnivore and omnivore animals that eat them. This is the base from which biologists can develop the idea of predator-prey dynamics, or the idea of how the population size of one species directly affects the abundance of another. Right here in Homer, we have a very good example of two species that represent this dynamic, the Canadian lynx and the snowshoe hare. Lynx live in forested areas. You may even spot one while hiking on trails nearby. They are highly specialized ambush predators. Their ear tufts, which may seem ornamental, actually enhance their hearing, allowing them to hear any sort of movement 4 to 5 times better than humans can. They have long legs and wide paws that allow them to move swiftly over deep snow. Their nighttime vision is so good that they can see up to 250 feet in near total darkness. All these features add up, making it easy for the lynx to wait in the dark and ambush their prey, which happens to be the snowshoe hare. The hare is the lynx's primary food source, making up anywhere from 60 to 90% of their diet. Snowshoe hares are not defenseless. They have adaptations that allow them to evade predation. Like the lynx, they have wide hind feet that allow them to move quickly over snow. They also have acute hearing, which is helped by their large ears. Snowshoe hares have seasonal camouflage. They appear brown in the summer and white in the winter, making them harder to spot. They thrive in their environments by reproducing quickly, which recovers lost predation. When snowshoe hares reach their population peak, which tends to happen every 8 to 10 years, there can be as many as 600 individuals per square mile. That is a lot, too much for the habitat to handle, which is where the lynx comes in. In reaction to this population boom, lynx have more food available to them, which means more kittens can survive to adulthood. This effectively increases the population, and the number of lynxes in the area grows. Predation by the lynx drives down the hare population, and eventually there will be too many lynxes to feed, and the lynx population will shrink. Once the lynx numbers are small enough, this releases the predation pressure put on the hares, and they can start to grow in numbers once again. Over time, a cyclical pattern arises. An increase in snowshoe hare directly leads to an increase in lynx populations, which in turn causes a decrease of hare and so forth. This cycle has been observed for a long time. The Hudson Bay Pelt Trading Company has records dating back to the 1800s that shows the ups and downs of both species and how they have aligned and are dependent on each other. Modeling the predator-prey cycle includes some assumptions that are not truly seen in reality. In other words, actual predator-prey dynamics are more complex than this, because there may be other factors impacting population numbers, such as presence of other predators, environmental factors, and others. But the understanding of the cyclical nature of predator and prey is essential to the importance of why we need to conserve and care about predators, even if they are not as charismatic as a cute bunny. This is Gabby Pagan, and this has been Kachemak Currents, brought to you by the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies, which has been connecting you with the nature of Kachemak Bay through education and stewardship for over 40 years.